Where's my pajamas? Where's my pajamas? Where's my pajamas? We hollered round the room. Where's my pajamas? Where's my pajamas? Where's my around the room? My sister took my jammies and flushed them down the toilet. Why did she have to do that thing? Why did she have to spoil it? Oh, where is my pajamas? Where is my pajamas? Where is my pajamas? We hollered round the room. Where is my pajamas? Where is my pajamas? Where is my around the room? My brother took my jammies and left them at the beach. The tide came in and they went out, and now they're out of reach. Ah! Where is my pajamas? Where? How did he do it? Where is my pajamas? We hollered round the room. Where is my pajamas? Where is my pajamas? Where is my round the room? Our daddy's name is Johnny. Our mommy's name is Trudy. We don't think they wear pajamas. They sleep naked nudie. He said nudie. Where's my pajamas? Where's my pajamas? Where's my pajamas? We hollered round the room. Where's my pajamas? Where's my pajamas? Where's my around the room? Bow. There you go. Singing is so much fun. Okay, here we go. Oh, yeah. Here's a stupid question. Is it cold enough for you? Right. All right, here we go. The menagerie, yeah, incident. He wrote this story. It's a half an hour long. Hey, JD, next time, try 10 minutes, okay? No, just joking. Here we go. It all began one morning when Mickey Callahan woke up to find he had become something he was not. Mickey had turned into a buffalo. He didn't turn all the way into a buffalo, just his head. It was not as large as a real buffalo head, but a little larger than Mickey's normal head. Now, you may not believe that Mickey's head turned into a buffalo head, but you know what? I was there, and it really happened. And then it got even weirder. But that part of the story comes later. Okay, here's what happened. Mickey woke up that morning and lay in bed for a while after the alarm went off. He was trying to remember if he needed to take a shower. He couldn't remember, so he decided to skip the shower. After lying in bed a little longer, Mickey went to the bathroom to brush his teeth and to wash his face. What Mickey saw when he looked in the mirror took his breath away. The face where his face should be was not his face at all. The face in the mirror was long and furry with short little horns where Mickey's ears should have been. At the end of his long, furry face was like two big, wet-looking nostrils. He couldn't even see his mouth, and he had a scraggly goatee. It looked totally real. Mickey felt all round his neck for the edge of the mask. He was trying to get his fingers under the edge of where the fur ended so he could just take it off. He tried and tried, but he couldn't find any edge. Mickey got frustrated. He was close to giving up trying to find a way to get the mask off when Mickey had an idea that he thought was the craziest idea ever. What if it's real? He thought. What if I really grew a buffalo head while I was sleeping? He got close to the mirror and looked the buffalo head in the eye. The buffalo looked back into Mickey's eyes. Mickey blinked. He could not be sure if the buffalo blinked. Mickey made an O shape with his mouth, just like the one the buffalo mirror was making. Mickey was beginning to have fun. He winked. The buffalo winked. He rolled his eyes. The buffalo in the mirror rolled his eyes. Mickey began attempting to make the buffalo look cool or happy or angry. The buffalo could do pretty scary angry. Mickey was beginning to rather like the buffalo. He seemed so, like, strong and wise and sincere. But then Mickey's mom barely looked at him. She just said, "Michael, take that thing off and get ready for school." Then she turned to leave the bathroom. Mickey said, "Won't come off, Mom." Mickey's mom said, "Just hurry up, Michael." And she left as she was leaving the bathroom. "Mom, it won't come off," Mickey insisted. Something in Mickey's voice drew his mom back into the bathroom. She looked closely, but then she began trying to find the edge of the mask like Mickey had done. She could not find it either. She looked into Mickey's eyes and gasped. Mickey's mom sat down on the edge of the bathtub, confused. "Mickey, is that really you?" "Yeah, Mom, I'm a buffalo." Mickey's mom fainted. Mickey caught his mom in time to keep her from bonking her head on the tub or on the bathroom floor. He let her down slowly. He was feeling strong and wise, like the buffalo he had become. "But if I were wise," he thought, "I'd know what to do right now." And he didn't. Should he throw water in her face? Should he yell or make a really loud sound? He didn't know what to do. Then Mickey heard his dad's footsteps coming up the stairs. Mickey's dad came in like he was going to get to the bottom of whatever was going on. The first thing he saw was Mickey's mom lying on the floor. He turned to look at Mickey and asked, "What the?" Then he saw Mickey's face and he stopped asking. He just stared. He said, "Mike, what's going on?" Mike thought his dad sensed right away that he wasn't wearing a mask, but then his dad said, "Take off the mask, Mike. What do you want to do, scare her out of her wits?" By now, Mickey's mom was beginning to move around. She told her husband that it was not a mask. He looked at his wife like she was completely crazy. Then he looked at Mickey. Then he saw it. He gasped a little when he moved back for a good look at Mickey. "Good Lord, it's real." Then he stared at Mickey. "Yeah, Dad, I'm a buffalo now. What do you think the kids at school will say?" Mickey's dad just rubbed his forehead and said, "I don't know, Mike. That's a pretty darn good question." But Mickey wouldn't get to find out right away because the kids at the school, well, he never went to school that day. Mickey's mom and Mickey's dad checked to make sure the buffalo head was not just a very realistic mask. The buffalo head was real. There was no other way to explain it. Mickey's mom and dad took him to the doctor's office. Then he saw one doctor after another until past dinner time. Every doctor he saw agreed. Mickey showed no sign of disease. He was healthy in every way. But he had a buffalo head, and no one could do a single thing about it. One doctor accidentally started to say Mickey was as healthy as a horse, but stopped. Mickey thought that was pretty hilarious. There was nothing anyone could do the next day, so Mickey went to school. Mickey's mom went with him on the first day back. She thought she needed to be there to explain to teachers and high school officials why her son seemed to be wearing a buffalo mask. Mickey's mom had to stand up for him, but the school people weren't going to let him go to school. She ended up promising that Mickey would be a well-behaved buffalo and he would not be a distraction in class. The kids at Mickey's school weren't as worried about him as some of the adult school people were. The kids thought having a human buffalo in the class was pretty cool. At first, Mickey was a distraction in class, but after about a week, the other students got used to him. The real problem was that some of the adults at the school and some people in the town didn't think it was right that Mickey had a buffalo head. There was even some crazy talk about Mickey being evil. What a bunch of baloney. Mickey's dad told him a story about a time when he went to a field in Yellowstone Park to take a picture of a buffalo close up. He said the buffalo looked up, and when he decided the human was too close, the buffalo gave Mickey's dad what he called a baleful look. He said the buffalo's baleful look told him he was too close. After hearing this story, Mickey started to trying to learn the baleful look. He became the kid who doesn't let bullies be mean. The baleful look came in real handy for that. Kids started to go to him to settle arguments. He was becoming the wise, sincere buffalo he'd seen in the mirror. The kids at Mickey's school actually sort of looked up to him. Being a buffalo wasn't so bad. Except some of the people in the town were convinced that Mickey was evil. They said Mickey would bring a curse upon the town. They thought he should be forced to move away. Now, Mickey's dad was not a rich man, and he wasn't one of the town bigwigs. He was just a guy that drove a beer delivery truck. But the thing is, everybody in town knew that there's no sense arguing with Mickey's dad. When Sam Callahan made up his mind about a thing, he became convinced he was right, and people eventually ended up agreeing with him. The people in the town who thought Mickey was evil had a special meeting at the community center. Their leader was Pastor Smith. Sam was not invited, but you know what? He went anyway. He walked in like he was the guest of honor. He went right to the front of the room and grabbed the microphone from Pastor Smith. He looked into the crowd and said, "Who wants to tell me my son is evil? Come on up. This is your chance." Nobody in the crowd moved. Sam waited about 20 seconds and then he said, "As for Mike moving away, I'll inform you now, Mike is not going anywhere." Sam waited a couple of moments for a protest from the audience. In the silence, Sam said, "Good, then we all agree." Then he walked back out of the community center. After that meeting, the town people who thought Mickey was evil didn't complain publicly, but they continued to whisper among themselves. Here's what happened. On Tuesday, about 3 weeks after Mickey became a buffalo, Sally Birch showed up at school with the head of a giraffe. Her neck was a little longer than normal, and like Mickey, her giraffe head was just slightly larger than her normal head. The adults at school and in the town soon heard the news. Many of them found this new development upsetting and began to get nervous about the weirdness. The school stood up for Sally and made her feel welcome, but the only ones really having fun were the kids. There was always a crowd hanging round Sally and Mike. They would ask questions about what it was like when you first looked in the mirror. Did it hurt? Some kids wanted to feel the difference between Mickey's horns and the funny little doodads that came out of Sally's head. Some kids were impressed with Sally's all-black tongue. Mickey and Sally became like the two most popular kids at school. And some kids started wondering if more kids would grow animal heads. Many kids started to wish they could grow an animal head, too. Most of the adults in town were upset because the students were so fascinated by the animal heads. The students kept right on being fascinated. Then, on the next Wednesday, Randall Deppy came to school with an ostrich head. Then 2 days later, Leonard Katz came with an alligator head. 3 days after that, Evelyn Skirl came to school with an elephant head, and George Welty came as a lion. This bothered Mickey because George was one of the bullies he was making behave with his baleful look. Mickey was afraid his baleful look might not make much of an impression on a lion guy. But life went on, and more kids showed up at school with animal heads. Eventually, there was a minor bird, a rabbit, a rhinoceros, a chimpanzee, a wolf, a moose, a panda bear, a marmot, an aardvark, a sloth, a fox, a horse, a pelican, and a camel. The people who had thought Mickey should move away were upset about what was going on in their town. They thought one animal head was bad, but now things had gone too far. They started to have meetings again, and there were even more of them than before. They no longer talked about making Mickey leave town, but they thought something had to be done. They argued that they couldn't just stand by and watch all the children turn into animal heads. They appealed to the doctors. The doctor said all the children were healthy, nothing they could do. They appealed to the town council. The council had no idea how to solve the problem. Almost every adult in town was saying something had to be done. Even Mr. Temple, a school principal, started to have second thoughts about allowing all the animal heads to attend class with the other students. Oh, one day he came into Mrs. Smutwelter's room. The students were being noisy and asking the teacher all kinds of questions about the animals they had turned into. Mrs. Smutwelter said the questions were not the right ones to ask. The students were supposed to be focusing on the day's lesson. Well, it was health class, and the students saw a movie about washing your hands after going to the bathroom. For some reason, all the animal heads thought the film was hilarious. Mrs. Smutwelter was annoyed. Mr. Temple watched this happen. He then went to the teacher's desk and spoke in a really quiet voice. "Mrs. Smutwelter, I don't think we can handle this much longer, and what can we do about this? We are supposed to be running a school, not a freaking menagerie. When Mr. Temple uses the word freaking, it means trouble." Mikey was starting to think they might make all the animal heads leave town, or at least stop them from coming to school. But then something really cool happened in the town square. When the school let out that day, the animal heads and all the other students were met by a group of people from out of town. They had all come to town on a bus. They were really mean and even angrier and more frightened than Pastor Smith's group. They yelled all the animal heads, telling them they were unnatural and, like, they had no right to exist. They had gotten wind of the weird goings-on in the small town and had set out to see for it themselves that it was true. The people from out of town were led by a man who referred to himself as the Reverend Vogel. They'd even brought a news crew along to do a live broadcast of the confrontation. Just as they were finishing setting up their news equipment, Mickey's dad arrived in his beer truck. He parked directly in front of the news van. The news people shouted that he couldn't park there. Mickey's dad just replied, "No, you can't park here." And then he left his truck right where it was. Mickey's dad marched over to the crowd and asked who was in charge of this circus. An old man with white hair came up to Mickey's dad and just said, "Good day, sir. I'm Reverend Vogel." Mickey's dad interrupted him before he could finish his name. "I'm not interested in your name, rank, or serial number, bud. I just want to know what you're doing here."
"We're here, sir, to expunge evil."
Out of the side of his eye, Mickey's dad noticed the people of the town were forming a protective circle around the animal heads. Even some of Pastor Smith's group helped protect the kids from the outsiders.
"We're here to root out,"
began Reverend Vogel, but Mickey's dad interrupted him again. He pointed to the people around the kids. "See that, bucko? That's our town, protecting our own. You, who asked you to stick your nose in our business?"
Reverend Vogel just started to say something in reply. Then Pastor Smith surprised everyone. He walked to where Reverend Vogel and Mickey's dad were talking, and he said,
"Reverend, these are our children, and we will protect them. Even though they may appear to you as freaks, they're not. They're our children. You'd just as well go on back to where you came from."
And that's just what they did. All the people from out of town got in their big bus and drove away. It was a great day. Everyone in town felt like they had been part of something important. Pastor Smith's group even felt good about the confrontation. They started being friendly, too, and talking with the animal heads. They began to discover the animal heads were just, they were just like normal school kids with non-normal heads. Well, after that, nobody said bad things about the animal heads anymore. The town folk began to treat the animal heads the same way as they treated other students.
Some adults even became curious and began asking the animal heads all the questions their classmates had been asking. The animal heads had nearly become minor local celebrities. The only thing left to worry about was this. Most of the students had become convinced that eventually every child in the school would turn into some kind of animal head. This caused alarm for many parents. They had become accepting and supporting of the animal heads, but they weren't sure they were ready to have one living in the house. But the alarm was a false one. No more kids grew animal heads. The animal heads felt safe and protected. Their hometown had stood up for them. Things were looking pretty good for the animal heads. The next several weeks were what the animal heads called their golden years. Nobody in town was accusing them of being evil. All the other students respected and enjoyed the animal heads. People in town had become so used to the animal heads, they began to think of them as just having differences, like Molly had red hair and Juanita had black hair. Randall had an ostrich head and Leonard had an alligator head. No big deal. There were a few problems. For instance, Randall seemed not to completely trust Leonard and asked him to sit on the far side of the room from him. Cedric Washington had grown a marmot head. Mary Stalingraft had grown a rabbit head. Chelsea Baldwin had grown a minor bird head. And all three of them were nervous about being around the wolf head and George the lion head. These, however, were minor problems. And mostly the students just began taking the whole incident as natural and A-OK. The animal heads were well-behaved in class, and they took their studies seriously. Many excelled in certain ways. Evelyn Skrill, the elephant head, for example, was exceptionally good at spelling. Chelsea Baldwin, the minor bird, had become somewhat of a whiz at arithmetic. The life of an animal head was a good life indeed, even better than being a normal kid. Mikey would often say to himself in the mirror in the mornings, "Oh, a buffalo's life for me, my friend. A buffalo's life, you see. Yes, it's a buffalo life for me, all right. A buffalo I shall be." And he would glare at the mirror in himself with his baleful look just to stay in practice. Oh, he had developed a wickedly intense baleful look. Mickey woke up one morning. He lay in bed some time after the alarm clock went off. He was trying to remember if it was shower day. He couldn't remember, so he decided to skip the shower. After lying in bed a little longer, Mickey got up to brush his teeth and trim his goatee. What he saw in the mirror took Mickey's breath away. There, in the mirror, staring back at him, was a face he knew well. It was his old face. His face looked strange and familiar at the same time. He stared in disbelief for a moment and then began shouting, "No! No! No!" and pulling at his face, but he couldn't make it come off. He could not. His mom rushed into the bathroom to see what he was shouting at. When she saw Mikey, she started crying and sobbed, "Oh, Mikey, oh, my God, oh, you're back, oh, thank goodness." And then she hugged him and cried some more, and yeah, she hadn't seen him like that in years. And Mickey's dad barked in. He saw Mickey and he shouted, "Wow, Mike, you got your face back, good, good, yeah, 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 that's good." We were all four in the bathroom now. Mom, Dad, Mickey, and me. Oh, yeah, dear listener, I'm Mickey's older brother, Stephen. Yeah, you call me Stevie. That's what Mickey calls me. I've been able to relate to you this incredible story because I was there. I witnessed the whole thing close up. I was sitting in my bathroom with my family that morning. I could tell my mom and dad were relieved, but Mickey was crestfallen. Do you know what crestfallen means? It's not good. It's when you feel sad or sorry that something's happened. Anyway, Mickey was crestfallen. He had come to enjoy being a buffalo. He was confused and a little angry that his mom and dad were delighted to see that he was no longer a buffalo head. Mickey told me later that he'd been able to keep some of his buffalo traits. I told him he'd probably gotten it from Dad. Our dad was kind of like a buffalo all the time. Mickey laughed about that, and he said he still felt strong and wise as he had when he was a buffalo head. The other students still looked up to him and asked him for advice and to settle arguments. All the animal heads soon got their heads back. Most of them were disappointed at turning back into normal kids. But all the animal heads and even the other students agreed. It was the best adventure ever.